This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, you know that August is dog month, and specifically today is dog day. I don't know if you know that or not.
The dog days of summer.
There you go. You know, dogs are still in the show in some households. Like, dog parents found that their dogs were thought of as their children. 84% of the dog parents say that.
I mean, just because you say that, does it really mean you think they're your children?
Yeah, I guess some people do.
I love my dogs to death, but they're not the same as children.
Well, a lot of people think that their dog or actually go to their dog before anyone else after a stressful day. Even before their partner, they'll go and pet their dog first.
Well, two reasons. One, your dog is more demanding of it. Your partner doesn't even care whether you come over there. And second of all, they're going to be happy to see you no matter what you did.
Yeah, and sometimes when you try to scratch your partner's belly, you get weird looks.
That's true. That's true. But imagine if your partner did greet you and, like, you know, jumping up on you.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
wow. Come home from work.
Well, you know, you can do a test. Put your dog in the trunk for an hour and open him up and open up the trunk and put your wife in the trunk for an hour and open up the trunk. And who's going to be happy to see you when you open that trunk?
Either way, you're going to jail.
Depends on how hot it is.
Okay, well, and some dog parents have strong feelings against allowing their dogs at the dinner table, even at the foot, like when they're begging.
And also, dogs are not allowed to beg.
Letting them lick their face. Now, do you let your dog lick your face?
Depends on how bad his breath is that day.
I never did because I saw all the things that Coda would eat on walks, and I was like, that tongue will get nowhere near me.
Eat. They lick things every day that I don't want them to touch my face after licking.
Well, and sometimes, like Otis, my dog, like that fur around his mouth smells funky.
Ugh.
And I don't know why.
Well, so, I do, because it's slobber, and it's sitting there with bacteria in it, and it's stinking like a wet bar rag.
Could be. Maybe he needs to be washed or groomed. And I've got the reasons why it costs to get your pet groomed than your own haircut.
Huh?
I got the reasons why it costs more to get pet groomed than your own haircut. Because a lot of times if you get your pet groomed, it's expensive.
Yeah.
So, for example, your hairdresser doesn't wash and clean your rear end when you go to the hairdresser.
But it'd be nice if she did.
Boy, wouldn't it? Okay.
Hot tip.
You don't go 8 weeks without washing or brushing your hair. A lot of times people will bring their dog in.
Yes.
And it's got matted hair and stuff.
So that's bad 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Your hairdresser doesn't clean your ears. A lot of times they'll clean your ears.
That's not true. I've seen some hairdressers for guys have to trim up that area.
Well, okay, well, if they're trimming ear hair, but not like digging inside and getting the wax out.
No, I guess you don't go to a good one then.
All right, reasons why it costs more to get your pet groomed than your own hair. Your hairdresser doesn't remove the boogies from your eyes. Those little eye boogers. What is that with the dogs? I'm like, because Otis gets them quite a bit.
So I've read that if you feed your dog like distilled water or spring water, it lessens the amount of that.
You told me that, and it ain't true.
Didn't work for you? It helped with ours.
It does not work with mine at all, because I've been buying distilled water, because I hate, because, you know, you got that little fine comb that you got to comb their eyes. And it's hard
to pick it with my fingernail.
Ooh.
I almost wonder if that's a breed thing. Cause I don't feel
probably.
Like Coda ever had that
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, I think some of the small dogs are
smaller
worse.
Smaller dogs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Shih Tzus, poodles, stuff like that. They have the eye boogers right there. All right, here's another one. Why it costs more to get your pet groomed than your own hair. Your haircut doesn't include a manicure and pedicure. You think about that. They get their fingernails clipped and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if I call it a pedicure, but they definitely clip their nails.
All right. You sit still for your hairdresser.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't try to bite your hairdresser.
They
do.
Oh, my gosh. But the worst is when you sit in that chair and they put the little blanket thing on you, and then you're like, oh, my nose itches. And you scratch it. And then you're like, my head kind of itches. My knee itches. Like, all of a sudden, everything is too much.
Okay.
I can't sit still.
Tom, you did mention that. You don't bite or scratch your hairdresser.
Yeah.
When you get a haircut. And the likelihood of you pooping on your hairdresser is pretty slim, but that does happen with some of the groomers that I know out there.
It depends. Yeah. How relaxed do you get?
Hopefully it stays under that little cover that Tori was talking about.
My mom threw up a little once when she was getting a massage. You know how you lay your head down in that little thing? And I guess they pressed too hard on her stomach.
Oh, my.
She like it was perfect just to go right through the hole. She thought that's what it was for.
Okay. And then reasons why it costs more to get your pet groomed than your own hair is your hairdresser only washes and cuts the hair on your head.
True.
We're going to send Cato out for a Torch Tuesday with that one. I've got some hair under my armpits that needs cut.
Just a little trim.
And part it in the middle if you don't mind.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
One of the tough things I found about gaining more experience in life is that you start to think everyone is stupid. And there's so much evidence piling up. I want to teach you something today that will help you avoid being stupid. It's going to be valuable for some people.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you may not, but for some of you, you're going to appreciate this.
Uh-huh.
So right now, there is a new crusade on to change a word that we've been using for a while because they believe it's offensive. That word is empty nester, or that phrase, empty nester. Someone who is an empty nester, their kids have just finally graduated, they're gone away, and now this couple is left alone to see if they still have a marriage after the kids have been raised.
That's a bad way to look at that.
If they've done it right, they haven't sunk everything in the kids, they still have a connection to each other, and they're going to find this to be a great time to go out and maybe do some things they weren't able to do when they were a larger family.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, it will be a rude awakening. And they will realize we've just been basically raising kids together and we don't have anything left in common. Some of those people will still manage to pull things together and go on and have the rest of their life as a great experience.
But this is good information because there's high statistics of people that get divorced after the kids leave.
It's too bad that's not the information I'm sharing with you this morning because it would be useful.
You're trying to say just don't have kids.
No, I'm trying to tell people that this idiot who wants to get rid of the term empty nester and change it to next chapterer or to the next chapter of your life is overlooking something that we do this all the time and it's so stupid. We take a word that's been a phrase or a word that means something for 10 or 15 years and we suddenly decide it's derogatory now and we change it because it's offensive. So this person is basically saying that emptiness only conveys empty and absence. It's a word that's never used in a positive way. So we're going to change it to next chapter.
I can see that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sad to hear that.
Because, I mean, you think about that glass of beer is almost empty.
Okay.
It's now, negative. Negative thoughts right there, right?
Let me challenge you to think of what it actually means. It refers to a bird's nest after the babies have flown off and now there is a nest there with a mom and a papa, and they got to go and figure things out.
Yeah, but sometimes I think we're the problem because if this one article was published, fine. But then when we, the media, pick it up and we start talking about it, then it gains traction.
Well, I'm talking about it negatively, if that helps.
But if you think about the birds, and it's empty nest, what do birds do? It's like they, you know, they kick the kids out of the nest.
Yeah, push them out.
Push them out, get them flying there, whatever they need to do. What happens is they create more birds the next season. So that's what you need to do. So when you're at the end of that long run of having kids, hey, you want to have a new one?
They go off and travel the world together and enjoy the rest of their lives. But here's the thing. This happens with every phrase there is. Special education was the term that was used whenever I was in school. Then little kids, being the Lord of the Flies animals that they are, came up with things like SPED, which wasn't even necessarily negative. It was just a shortening. But then they would call kids SPED. And so then somebody stepped in and said, special education is bad. We have to use something nicer. And they came up with special disabilities or whatever the current term is now.
I'm okay with that one.
But in 10 years, it won't be. It'll be considered negative because it's not the words. It's the thing that it refers to. And people look at it negatively, then it doesn't matter what the words are. They're always going to end up offensive and we'll keep this cycle going over and over. In 10 years, next chapter will be bad and someone will go, oh my God, the next chapter is a terrible thing. Let's change it to empty nester.
We're advancing.
No, we're not.
Yeah, that's what we do. We advance. Same thing as what you always preach about AI. AI is going to get better. It's going to make everything better. Better, better, better. We're just trying to come up with the... Now, I don't agree
with
politically correct information.
I'll tell you why you're wrong. Because the things we come up with are no better than the things before. They're just different.
Now, the next chapter just sounds more pleasant. It's more positive spin on that instead of going empty nesting.
But what if there's no more chapters? What if it's just a short story?
It's the end of the book.
Thank you, Cato.
Yeah.
That's exactly a good point. For a lot of people, there is not a next chapter, at least not in the marriage.
It's okay to have the positive spin, though, on it.
But see, that's the politically correct
bullcrap. No, it's not.
It is a positive spin. That's not reality.
You are so passionate about something that really don't matter too much.
But we do it with everything. We take stuff that was like, if I use some of the phrases that when I was a kid were considered the technical terms, people will think I'm a horrible person now.
Well,
if I was to say certain words, they would be like, oh, that's so mean. But it's not. It's the word.
You take it personal because you use some of those words sometimes.
Yeah, because that's what they were, and they weren't mean.
What does it matter?
A lot of times we're like going,
stupid.
Did you just say that out loud?
I know. I hope the mics are not on.
I just feel like it hurts nothing to if someone says, that's not nice. I don't like it.
Except
just
they're wrong. It's not
it.
That it's not nice. They've just gotten... Here's the problem, Tori. It's the thing underneath it that they don't like. And no matter how many times they change the name of it, that thing is still going to end up making the word.
What do you mean?
So in other words, the problem here isn't the word empty nest. It's the fact that someone who is going through this is going through a hard time or a sad time. So no matter what words you attach to it, they will eventually become tainted by the thing, not the words. It isn't the words that are bad. It's that we're going to taint every phrase we attach to this because the experience is a lot of times negative or at least tumultuous.
Tom, this is kind of like when you're on Facebook and you've argued your point and it's time to just kind of let it go.
Dory asked a question. I answered it.
You're not going to change this person's mind.
I'm not trying to change your mind. I know you wouldn't change your mind.
He's talking about everybody, though.
But this doesn't bother me because I don't think I've ever used the term empty nester.
Okay, but there's phrases.
You finally got rid of the kids?
There's phrases like this out there that they do that to.
This don't bother me. Because my kids are probably going to be living with me until I'm 36, or until they're 36.
You'll never have an empty nest.
I'll be praying for an empty nest, or the next chapter.
There's a phrase for that, too, but it ain't nice.
Well, you're going to say it anyway.
No, I would never say a nice one. Well, not nice one.
Okay. After I push this button, you're going to call me it.
I'm already thinking it.
Well, that counts. It's what they say.
Oh.
So if you're thinking it, you've already said it in your heart.
The Lord hears your thoughts.
Yeah, but the difference, he don't cancel me. They'd
the
cancel
Lord?
Me if they heard what I was thinking.
He canceled you a long time ago.
Cato.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, is there such a thing as customer service anymore? I will say I've got a couple of funny stories that I want to share with you about my checkout experience. And they do say that a lot of the stores are getting rid of the self-checkout. So then we go back to seeing someone actually check you out because of all the thefts and stuff that's going.
That was an expensive debacle then.
Yeah.
I mean, how much did they spend putting those things in and then all of a sudden they're going to take them back out?
I like them.
Yeah.
I prefer to use them, and I use them most often in the grocery store.
Me too. They save me a lot of money.
So, and you know what? You've been behind people that like to have the conversation, like the grandmother, and she's showing her, the cashier, like all of her grandkids on her cell phone or whatever.
I saw one of them doing at the self-checkout one time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pointing at the little scanner.
I tell you what, you know, I think we need special lines for, you know, for
age.
Well, it could be that. It'd be a conversation line. If you want to have a little chat with the cashier, go through this line. Or maybe an all guys line, because most guys don't want to have a conversation. They say about three things, and they never want to donate to anybody.
That's a great idea, like, but there's no way the world will let us do it.
I know.
And it's not fair. Their line moves faster than ours.
You don't round up your total for the kids?
Not all the time.
Not this time, thank you.
How many is it? Over 50 cents?
Yeah. You need maybe the moving walkway checkout line, and then if you're not done by the end, he's like, you don't get the rest of those groceries. And that'll keep everything moving pretty quickly.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's like the ones you see in the airport. Yeah. And then the verbally abusive lines. Like she could, or the cashier could just, you know, talk about the items or tell you to hurry up and get your money out and get ready and be almost like your mama telling you how to do your checkout.
Be like dicks.
Yeah.
Or basically, yeah, like when you're trying to get something and they're like, oh, this is preparation age. Preparation age. Yeah. We need it to aisle three, please. Thank you.
The cash check.
This girl here, right here.
Yeah, the cashier could just roast you every time you go through. That'd be a lot of fun.
But I'd like to be the one to be angry.
Okay.
Like if you got to get, you know, something off your chest, let the cashier put up with you being mean.
Oh, okay.
Like, hurry up, jerk. I'm trying to leave the store.
I was thinking maybe you could have a therapist line, too.
Yeah. That's
not very nice. Just lay down on this, not a couch, but the conveyor belt. And we'll do a little session with you while you're checking out. And then you hear a little boop on your backside where your barcode is. But here's the one experience I had. So I was checking out, and there was no bag person there. And so I started bagging my own groceries, and the cashier, she didn't help me at all. She's had this grumpy look on her face, and I keep bagging. And you got the eye contact with her, like, I've got it. And she's like, waits for me after she's done, doesn't even help me bag my groceries, just like they're kind of like, and moves on to the next paying customer. Like, as she hands her receipt to me in one hand and takes the other person's stuff in the other, it's like, she was, like, mad at me because I couldn't bag my groceries fast enough.
Yeah, but I try to remember. They've got so many people they got to get through that line.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is awkward when they make it seem like you're doing something wrong, and you're like, I'm trying my best. I wasn't trained. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. I would be sitting there more or less, like, going, I don't know how to do this. You know, I really don't get trained for this. Maybe you should help.
Do the eggs go on the top or the bottom of the bag?
Yeah, help me. We need a course on this. But I will say, every time, you know, you get a jug of milk and they're like, do you want us to, you want a bag for this? And I'm like, no, I'll just keep it in the jug. That's fine.
Oh, you're that kind
of
guy.
I'm that guy, yeah. I'll just keep that milk in the jug.
You're the one that's trying to rush through.
That's maybe why she was mad at me.
They used to ask if you had a smoking preference at restaurants, and I'd always be like, Marlboro Lights, please.
Now, my favorite one is, I was checking out, this girl was checking me out, like in the...
Sure, that's what all the guys
say. I know, in the grocery line. And she had a tongue ring. Now, this is not my normal store, but so I was going in there getting something real quick, and her tongue ring, you know, the little ball thing that it pops out and lands on the conveyor belt. She's grabbing that, trying to put it back, and she was trying to have a conversation. I'm sorry about that, sir. I just...
Wow.
Yeah. She was putting her tongue ring back in as she was having a conversation with me, checking out.
So that means that thing landed on the conveyor belt, and then she stuffed her fingers all in her mouth while she was doing that.
Well, she did use hand sanitizer afterwards, but it took her a second to get in there. And I, it'll be $17.99, sir. It was funny. That was good times right there.
And then she hands you your credit card back, and you're like, ooh, thank you.
She used hand sanitizer. But
nowadays, you don't even give them your card. You just stick it in that machine upside down and then turn it around and put it in right.
Now, you had a tongue ring, Kato. Did it ever pop out like when you're at a party or something?
No.
Okay.
I chipped a tooth.
I was thinking, because I was thinking maybe you loosen up the ball or something. It was just perfect timing for because it just goes flying out of her mouth.
That's how it happened, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll come loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have to make sure you keep it tightened.
Uh-huh.
Well, I miss my tongue ring.
There's no way. I did the belly ring. There's no way I would let him do that to my tongue.
The cashier missed hers for about a minute or two.
Almost healed up.
I was like, you want me to help you with that, ma'am? It looks like it's so awkward right now.
Stick your tongue out here. I'll get that for you.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There is a lot of concern about AI. Elon Musk is afraid it will take over the world and destroy humanity. A lot of people are afraid it will destroy jobs. And some people are even so afraid of it. 2 out of 5 people are afraid that if they are rude to Siri or Alexa, it may come back to haunt them one day. They're like, if I say something mean to Siri or to Alexa, whenever the AI takes over, they're going to remember me and come after me. I want to let you know that's not going to happen.
You don't know.
I really hope not, because I say some not so nice things to Siri when I'm driving.
I will say I'm pretty rude to Alexa, too, when she doesn't do what I wanted her to. I'm like, that's not what I asked, you dummy.
Well, my Siri acts like she's crying sometimes when I'm using her for GPS.
Oh, you're doomed.
She'll be like, at the stop sign, take a left. I'm like, girl, it's okay. We're only taking this curve at 90. What's wrong with you?
I've ridden with you. I've almost cried, too.
Siri's terrified.
Speaking of driving my ways, whatever her name is, she don't tell me that a police officer was there when a police officer was there.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, she didn't say police up ahead.
That's odd, because she says it nonstop when we use her.
Well, someone must not have reported it.
Right.
And it was not good for me. So I think she's mad at me.
Now, Waze is actually pretty cool how they do that, because you get points for turning in the police and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really good at telling you about that.
I don't understand how people are doing that in driving. Well, it explains why there's so many accidents.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy, though. I mean, I don't know if it's voice activated yet, but it's just a simple button you just tap and you don't have to do much else.
What does make me mad, though, is when I'm stuck in traffic in the other line or the other side of the interstate, everybody's laughing at me.
Yeah.
It's like you got those ha 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 ha, you're sitting in traffic. That ain't nice, y'all.
Okay. Well, I don't think that the future AIs will have any idea what you told Siri or Alexa, because they are not AIs yet. Now, if you get on ChatGPT and tell it mean things, yeah, maybe, but I doubt it. And I think whenever we get to real AI, where it's actually intelligent, then it's going to be its own self, and it's not going to care what you did to these previous generations. It would almost be like, I guess, if someone got mad, if they're like, oh, you were mean to that monkey. And then you expect humans to be mad at you if you believe all that. But it's not likely that the early versions of what we're, quote, calling AI are actually going to have any relationship to the real AIs when we do get to that point. But when we do, we're probably doomed anyway, so it didn't matter if you were rude or not.
What's the percentage of people that have like those devices hooked up in their house?
What kind of device? Like Alexa?
Alexa.
It's high. I don't know, but it's surprisingly high.
Okay, in here, just quick, around the room. I don't have Alexa in my house.
Do you have iHome, Apple Home, any of that?
I have nothing. I don't want anybody to tell me I'm doing things wrong.
I don't need anybody listening to me.
That's my husband won't do it because he's like, they're going to track us. I'm like, you have an iPhone.
Yeah, you're already done being tracked. Everything you say.
I will say that's true.
Because, of course it is.
Yeah.
So you don't either?
No.
So 3 out of 4 don't have the devices. Is.
According to our survey.
Yeah.
In this room.
I don't, you know, I've been offered one for free from a friend that just had it lying around. I'm like, I don't need it.
I don't have one because I'm suspicious that something might go wrong. I just don't know how to hook it up.
Okay.
And then I'm sitting there and it's not plugged in. I'm like, Alexa, tell me how to hook you up.
Interestingly, according to this, our survey in here is accurate percentage-wise. 25% of people have Alexa, 36 or more than 1 out of 3 have Siri, and 36% more than 1 out of 3 have Google Assistant.
Yeah.
So assuming they're not overlapping, that's a large percentage of the world using one of those.
Well, and most of the other guys that are out there, they got their wife to tell them what to do.
Yeah, but that's not what an assistant does. It doesn't tell you what to do. You tell it what to do. It's the exact opposite.
Well, then never mind. I ain't going to finish what I'm saying. It's not going to...
Well, I'm just going to say
you don't need two women yelling at you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't yell at you.
That's what... See, there was a 90s movie on Disney Channel Smart Home where it took over and it locked everybody inside and it wouldn't let them out.
They couldn't open their window?
They couldn't do anything.
They couldn't break their window?
I didn't think about that.
That's why I don't enjoy movies. I'm like, they didn't use a brick on the window?
They were like, we live here now. We can't get out. I never thought about just breaking a window.
Well, maybe it was windows that don't break.
Yeah.
It was Microsoft Windows.
No, they stay broken.
Yeah.
True. So anyway, it looks like that, Grant, now even if it's 25%, that's still a lot of people. It's just not the majority, but 25% of a billion is a quarter, whatever.
And when 25% gets locked in their house... And we can leave our homes.
Oh, yeah, Tori, you got me there.
We're going to wall by the window and wave and laugh at you.
I can't laugh. I was locked into my garage one time because my door was broken.
No, his opener was broken. His door was fine.
Were you there?
Okay, I'm just saying.
I think both of them
were.
It
was scary.
Yes, it was.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, I know a lot of folks are dating. We try to help you out here on the Hawk and Tom Show. I have a few questions that you can ask. Some of them seem a little bit sneaky, but you can find out a lot about the person you're dating just by asking a few of these questions. Now, I know a lot of times people, once they get in a relationship, finances, that's a big fight. Child rearing, another big fight. Obviously, you want to talk about religion and stuff like that kind of early off. But here's one for you to ask. What would you do if you won $100,000 in the lottery? Because it's a sneaky way to kind of find out what their financial thoughts are when it comes to, maybe, let's say you get a big bonus at the end of the year. Like, what does she expect? What does he expect you? Or how does they expect you to spend that money?
That's interesting. Yeah. My wife and I often talk about getting like a $250,000 scratch off or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first thing that comes to my mind is we would split the winnings and each do whatever we wanted with our half. Or split it three ways and put 1/3 in the household account, and we could each have fun with 1/3.
Yeah.
That way, I don't have to be complaining about how she spent hers. I don't care where she spent it. She doesn't care where I spent mine, and everyone's happy.
Okay, that's one way to look at it.
That's the best way. Just saying.
But it does kind of give you some insight on, like, does she want to save some of that money? Does she want to spend it all? Get a, you know, spend it frivolously?
Or even frivolously.
That too. Okay, another question for you before you propose, I guess, or on the dating scene. What's your favorite holiday, and how does your family like to spend it? Because that starts a lot of fights. Like, whose family's going to come first when it comes to this one? Are we going to be spending most of the Christmases at your family or at my family?
Well, I feel like that's something you can work out with even switching off every year. Or you can, like my grandparents, we went to one of them on Christmas Eve. We went to the other one on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like there should be a way to compromise this. I mean, I think other people have.
All right. Another good question for you is, what's your dream job and where would you most like to live if you were to get that dream job, or even just a job that you're looking to do in the future?
See, I don't think that one's that useful, because you're going to get the one you got, not the dream job.
You'll learn how far she's willing to move away from her family if she tells you, well, you know what, I wouldn't mind doing, I don't know, construction in Chicago.
And move on. I feel like it also depends on so many factors. What if you don't plan to move anywhere either? Okay. So why do you care whether she would be willing
to? Because you're getting that information. Like, if... Okay.
Seems like you're starting a fight over something that might never happen to me.
People also change, too.
Yes.
Like, in my younger 20s, I thought I'd be in Manhattan. Now... no interest.
A country girl in Manhattan.
Hey, y'all.
That's a Hallmark movie just waiting to be made right there. Why do you want to go to Manhattan?
I can see it now. My meet cue would be that I almost get run over by a taxi and he pulls me away. And I'm like, oh, he's so dreamy.
You're
he's a
what?
Wall Street man. My meet cue.
What's that mean?
From the Hallmark movie, when you meet your person. Have you never watched a Hallmark?
I'm proud to say no.
And then the taxi guy's going like, hey, doll, where you want to go?
Why is it a meet cue?
I don't know. It might be meet cute. I don't know.
I don't know
either. I'm not in the movie yet, Tom.
I think it's meet you. So another question you can ask before you get married. Hey, what was your dad's work schedule like? Because, you know, the dad might have been a workaholic or whatever, and she's going to expect you to have those same kind of work ethic as her dad did. A lot of times, we all do that. Like, it could be also the mom. Did the mom have a lot of work ethic? Because you can figure out a lot. Those expectations, that's just how they grew up. And they always say the boys can compare their wife or girlfriend to their mom, and the girls compare them to their dad.
Sometimes you get total opposite, though.
Exactly.
Yep.
It really depends on the person.
My grandfather on my mom's side was an alcoholic. My mom never touched alcohol because of what she saw with him growing up. And so it's totally opposite. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. That one's a tough one. I think you again could create fights over something that might not be the case at all.
Well, you know, speaking of drinking, that's another one they say.
Well, hold on. Let me give you another example. My dad was very much had a hard work ethic.
He was
solid. And look at me.
Yeah, 4 or 5 hours a day.
Maybe. Yeah.
Sitting here pushing buttons.
And it's grueling.
And you push the most of them.
I know.
Yeah. He pushes the wrong ones. I push the right ones for him.
Okay, so speaking of drinking, what do your parents like to drink? Or do they drink at all?
Now, that's a good question. I don't know about the work ethic. Yeah, because you might want to bring them a bottle of wine if you're coming over.
That's a good point.
You might be over at Christmas, and there not going to be any alcohol anywhere in the house. You're like, I need a drink because these people are driving me crazy right now.
That's easy to do. My wife just carries a Yeti in with all the wine in it.
You'd have to bring a 2-liter bottle of Coke for my family.
Yeah,
that's what they drink.
No drinking?
Coke Zero. That's their thing.
So no sweet tea.
Mm-mm. No,
I'll be there. You know how many parties I go to, they don't have sodas out. I'm like, are you kidding?
But, I mean, you love the margaritas and all that stuff.
I love Jesus, but I love the sauce.
Which shows you that that's a stupid question because it has nothing to do with the person that you're with, what they'll do. Now, it does help you with whether you need to smuggle some in for Christmas.
A lot of this is just, you can't go into it with such like a blanket approach. It has to be catered towards the person.
Yeah, because like you have 3 kids, they're all going to be different no matter what their parents were.
Right. Yeah, I saw a meme where it said, you know, one of them's always different. It had 3 kids. They'd just been fishing. One's holding, you know, their fish. The second one's holding his fish, and the third one's little kid's got a fish hanging from his mouth.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.